It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study God's Word. We're in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read from the 17th verse, and we're going to read down through the 24th verse to the end of the chapter. So we're going to start at verse 17, and then we're going to go down through to the 24th verse. And that's probably as far as we'll get today. So please, that you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3 to the 17th verse. We're going to begin with the 20th. The others is just kind of a review as we read that. So please, as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you could find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, that you could find your place in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. I hope you have an opportunity to follow along today as we study God's Word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden a cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way, of the tree of life. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come together today. Please, that you will help us to learn and to grow closer to you. That's the reason we study your precious word, Lord, that we come to know you as our Savior and grow in you. So please, Lord Jesus, guide and lead us now today as we study this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at some verses of Scripture here from the 17th down through verse 19, and we talked about some things that was going to happen to Adam. Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And I wanted to, in listing those things, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that as he took our place and died on the cross of Calvary, he is our substitute, he is our perfect substitute, our perfect sacrifice. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have life if you'll come by faith to him. What we need to realize is that there were many things with this curse that we read about here in verse 17, 18, and 19 that the Lord Jesus faced in his life. He faced everything. He completed the law as well. But we find that with the thorns and the thistles, the thorns came because of sin, and you know he had a crown of thorns placed upon his head when he went to the cross of Calvary. We know that the sweat that we have to put forth, the work because of sin, you know, it originally it was not so. We didn't have to labor so that we would sweat and be such a burden to make a living. It was something that come very easy to get our daily bread and things of that. We find that this sweat, the Lord Jesus also sweat drops of blood. We know that the Scripture tells us with sorrow that we face, and as we spoke of the time before, with the woman, will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And so in looking at the sorrow, we know that the Lord Jesus is a man of sorrow. And we look also is that death was certain because of the disobedience. There was only one, there was a price to pay, and that had to be with the death. And here we find that Jesus was obedient unto death. We go now to verse 20. That was just review. And now as we begin with the 20th verse, Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Adam, I don't know that we've ever mentioned this, but says red earth is a meaning of Adam. I've got some old clay. I don't really call it red, but it sure is orange in color that we used to farm. And Adam here is called red earth. Adam called, named his wife Eve, and that means that is life. So we have first that Adam, of course, was made from the dust, from the earth, and we find here that Eve was come out of Adam, and her meaning is life. Adam is the dying body. And we know that Eve is going to be living. She is the one that's going to bring life. Eve will be the mother of all living. Every child that's ever born, she is the mother. Eve, because she was the mother of all living in the 20th verse, will be the mother of all living. Earlier, before, the Eve was called the woman. And when that name was listed in the Hebrew, it is I-S-H-A-H, meaning woman. But now here he called her by name, and it means life, Eve, E-V-A-H, life, mother of all living. The seed of this woman will break the serpent's head. The seed of this woman is to be the Redeemer, will be the promised seed, will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam knew when he had to commit sin to join Eve that that was going to be the means of the bringing the Messiah, that the one perfect sacrifice could come, God in the flesh, perfect, completely God, and yet completely man. And that's who we have in the Lord Jesus. It is wonderful to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, to see Him, to know that He has died on the cross of Calvary that we can live. It is wonderful. Now, again, we have the seed of this woman will break the serpent's head. The seed of this woman is to be the Redeemer, the promised seed. We go on to verse 21. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. I love Genesis 3:15 because in Genesis 3:15 it was the first time that the gospel is presented. we have such a beautiful picture, a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, once again, here in verse 21. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. A shadow. When the day begins, the shadow is long. Early in the morning, if you'll stand as the sun is coming up, your shadow is cast, and that shadow is so long, it's almost just like a straight line. You can't make out the head, arms, the legs. You can't make, you can't see your body as you stand in the sunlight and look towards your shadow. But when the day begins to, the light begins to come, the sun moves its way up into the sky, the shorter that shadow becomes, and the more distinct that shadow becomes. You can see. You can see the hands and the arms and the legs. You can see all that clearly as that sun comes up. And the brighter the light, the clearer the light, and the more that light gets straight over the top to where at a point in time, that shadow's completely gone. And all you have is the person standing there. And that's exactly what we have with the Word of God. We have some shadows, and some of those shadows are, you can see the shadow, and the shadow comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. And as we look from His life that we speak of in the Gospels, and when we look at the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we can look back and see these shadows, and we can make them out better than probably the people could at the time. Because, you see, they didn't have all the rest of God's Word to see this, but we do. And so, you see, we live at a beautiful time because we have the person, Jesus Christ. And when you have the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, to look back now and see these shadows, we know who they are. They're the Lord Jesus Christ. Were they clear? Some of them not so clear. Some of them very clear, depending on how much light was shown, how straight the light was right overhead, to the point that finally it was just the person, Jesus Christ. Here is one of those beautiful shadows. And, you know, those shadows begin back 4,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. And yet it is still a perfect shadow. So dim some of them may appear because the shadow is so long. There's not a lot of light. But the more light, as the light raises into the sky, as the sun comes up and gets to the center of the day, all we have standing there is the body, the man, and that man is Jesus Christ. And so, see, now we can look at this beautiful shadow, and we can see, because this great light that we have, it is easy to look back and see this wonderful shadow. This shadow that we have here in verse 21, Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now, do you see the shadow there of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we've talked about a couple of other shadows. One is again how Adam went to get his bride. The Lord Jesus Christ come down here upon this earth, went to the cross, died upon the cross, and rose again to get his bride. That's the only way the bride could be purchased, was to die. Here, Adam did the same thing in coming to get Eve. The only way that Eve could be redeemed is if Adam would sin and have the same condemnation that Eve has, and that is, if you eat of that forbidden fruit, you're going to die. Adam had to come. He had to be a part of it as the Lord Jesus came to this earth and was a part of it. Never sinned, but he was a part. He took on human flesh so that he could complete and pay that debt, the debt of sin. And he did that by dying for us upon the cross of Calvary. I want you to see right here, I want you to see what we have, what beautiful picture that we have here concerning the gospel. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Man had sinned, disobeyed God. Being as natural man, sinful man, Adam and Eve did not look to God for help. Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:7, they knew that what they had was not adequate, because if you'll look back with me to Genesis 3:7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They tried to cover their sin. Today, man does the same thing. We try to cover our sin to where we are not. We think we can do it with religion. We can do it with good works, and we can just think that we're plain good enough and don't need salvation. All of those are wrong. There is nothing in us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. There is nothing in us, and even to the point that wouldn't you have thought that man at the fall, Adam and Eve, that they would have recognized they were sinners and sought for God, looked for him, but they did not. They did not seek God. God came to them. Adam and Eve, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. It makes no mention. And back in the earlier part of chapter 3, where we look at the 7th and 8th verse, when sin entered in, they tried to cover their sin. And today we try to do the same thing. We try to cover our sin. And it's so sad today that people will reject this free gift of salvation that God has given us and tries to come in some other way, in some other means, tries to take care of their sin problem. Adam and Eve was the first to do that. They sowed these fig leaves and they put this garment on, and they thought that that's good enough. But when God showed up onto the scene, they hid themselves because they knew it wasn't enough, and they were afraid. And that's where it all started. Now, we know that these fig leaves did not work. It did not cover sin. They hid themselves. We know here that man does not seek after God. There's nothing good in you. Adam and Eve, the very first man and woman, did not seek after God. God sought after them. We know, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 20, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. And we can be so thankful for that verse of Scripture and for God's Word, and to know that even though we are sinners, we do not desire nor look to God or towards God, and yet we find that God sought after man. He seeks after you. You don't seek after him. He seeks after you. Here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Salvation. Salvation has, from the beginning, salvation has a work that has never changed. And let me share with you these things that are necessary for salvation. And this isn't me speaking, this is the Word of God. It starts here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, where God clearly tells us. We know salvation is coming through the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 15. But here we find more about how God's going to work and the means of salvation and how it's going to be taken care of, the finished work. And let me try to explain this to you. To begin with, it is always must be God's way, because you see, man doesn't seek after God, God seeks after man. So it's got to be God's way. There must be, and there always will be, and was all the way to the point of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an innocent sacrifice, one that is not guilty of the charges. So there's an innocent sacrifice. That sacrifice, that innocent sacrifice, must die. That's another requirement of the work of salvation. First, it is an innocent sacrifice. Next, the sacrifice must die. Next, there must be, and this may seem easy for you to understand, but there must be the shedding of blood. And we need to understand that. There is always the shedding of blood concerning this innocent sacrifice for this to be God's way. Also, this innocent sacrifice, and it doesn't really speak of it here, but again, this is a shadow. We know that this innocent sacrifice must be perfect. And we know as we study through into the Scripture concerning the sacrifices in the tabernacle and things of that as they come, you will find that this sacrifice is, it must be without blemish. And so, yes, everything received the curse, but you would look for the best, the most perfect sacrifice, a perfect animal without any blemish. And so that is another requirement. So let's look here now in verse 21, and this we know because this is everything that the Lord Jesus, this is what he has done for us. He was an innocent sacrifice. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was perfect, all these things, and it was God the Father's plan. Let's look at verse 21. Unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. Now, does it say that Adam and his wife went out and slaughtered these animals and sewed some coats and put them on so that they could wear, and Adam and Eve really literally put the clothes on? No, it's very clear here that the Lord God makes coats of skins and clothed them. You see, there is nothing that you can do for your salvation. It is all a work that God produces. It's all a work that God does. Let's see here if we can come up with the list that we have. The sacrifice. It was an animal. The Lord God killed this animal before the very eyes, I'm sure, of Adam and Eve. So we find probably, and we're not told this, and again, this is a shadow, but probably it was a lamb. Because we are told by the wonderful Word of God that it's the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. And so it would seem right by other verses of Scripture that's a lamb, but we are not told that. We know that it was an animal. The Lord God killed that animal, and again, I believe that it was before the very eyes of Adam and Eve. I think they witnessed death for the first time. I think the Lord God killed this animal. His blood was shed. The animal died. The animal was innocent of the sin of Adam and Eve. In order for Adam or Eve to pay the debt of sin, they would have to die. But you see, we have found a substitute, an innocent substitute. And again, it does not say, but I am sure that that animal, that innocent substitute, was without blemish. Because we have that all through the Scripture, and that goes all the way to the cross of Calvary. starts here in Genesis 3:21, and it ends at Calvary some 4,000 years later. What a beautiful, wonderful picture that we have of Jesus Christ and His saving power. Notice what was done by God, by the Lord God. It was God's gift, not man's works. It was a gift given. Adam and Eve did nothing, absolutely nothing. Adam and Eve didn't even put these coats on. The Lord God made coats of skin and clothed them. Remember what the penalty for sin? The penalty for sin was to die. And if we'll glance back quickly to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That was the price. They was going to die. The very day that Adam and Eve sinned was the very day that God came forward with the substitutionary lamb, their substitute. And there would be substitute after substitute after substitute, because you see, until the Lord Jesus Christ would come and be the final perfect sacrifice, it had to be repeated time after time after time. When we find on into the end of Exodus and into Leviticus, when we find the tabernacle, we find that the Day of Atonement come once a year. And this would be done with two goats. And one would die and the other would be the scapegoat. And so the one, as the animal was put to death and the blood was caught, you've heard me speak of this many times, the high priest then would take this blood and sprinkle it in the Holy of Holies upon the mercy seat, in the place where the high priest could only go once a year. He went twice, once for himself, and then returned for the people, that their sins would be covered. And then he would take those bloody hands that he had after sprinkling the blood across the mercy seat and in the Holy of Holies, he would come back and he would lay those bloody hands upon the live goat's head. He would confess the sin of the nation of Israel, and then that goat would be led up into the mountains, never to return again. What a beautiful picture. Again, a shadow of what we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as we look to these words and these scriptures, we find and we see Jesus Christ so clearly. I am glad that you have come today, that you could see Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, because you need to see clearly that it was nothing that man has done, and the work of salvation is the same today. There is nothing you can do. When Jesus Christ, by His Word, convicts your heart, and the Holy Spirit, it's a work of the Holy Spirit, convicts your heart, and you recognize that you're a sinner, and Adam and Eve knew they were sinners, He asked them to confess up in the earlier verses, if you'll remember. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And He said unto the man, "What is this that thou hast done?" He wanted them to confess it. And once you confess that you're a sinner, then He will present to you His salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is accept it. They accepted these skins as God placed them on. They could have rejected them, but they did not. They accepted those skins. And we're going to look at the difference next time we come together concerning these aprons that they made and these coats that God has made. And it's very important that you look and can see that one is not sufficient to take one sin away, but the Lord Jesus Christ will take all of your sin away if you'll just come by faith to Him. It's important, my dear friend, that you know Jesus as your Savior. It's important that you look to the cross of Calvary today and be saved. Now, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?